Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
If you've been with us in Defined by Moments over the last several weeks, you've noticed that we've really picked up speed. There have been larger chunks of this second section of Proverbs that we've picked up because it really is a collection of a lot of miscellaneous components that do have an overarching theme, but it is more difficult to do a verse-by-verse exposition as you move through. Well, here we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to have about 9 verses that really do fit into one section. So that's where we're going to focus today. So grab those Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 9 through 17. And the title of this is The Security. Because as we read through these verses, you will see that we either choose the Lord as our security, or we're going to choose something else, what I call the leftovers. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute. But look at verse 9 here in Proverbs chapter 18. It says, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother of him who destroys." Now, I have one word written beside that verse in my Bible, and that word is very simply, ouch. So think about this. We all know people that go and destroy things. But what Solomon is saying here is if you're slack, if you're sinking back from your duty, if you're relaxing and not putting forth your best effort, guess what? You are just like the person that is actually destroying things. Now that hurts. So whoever is relaxing in his occupation is the same as the one who destroys, who brings good things to ruin. In other words, if you destroy things, or if you do half-hearted effort, guess what you do not have? You do not have security. You do not have something to be able to fall back onto because you have exposed a significant character flaw for yourself. So really here, as we're looking at this, we're going to find, like I said in our introduction, that we have two choices. We choose that our security is in the Lord, or our security is in the leftovers, because quite frankly, everything else will fade away. Think about if you put your trust in the stock market. Well, the stock market will rise, the stock market will collapse. And if you're trusting in it when it's great, that's a wonderful thing. But if it collapses and you lose so much money, then your security is gone. If we go back to the father of Solomon and look at something that he wrote in Psalm 16 and verse 2, notice what he says. David says, "I say to the Lord." So I'm saying to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God in the Old Testament that is defined as the eternal one, the existing one, the all-powerful one. So David is saying to him, "You are my Lord. You're my master. You're my leader." If you've been listening to the other series that we currently have going at this time, "You are my shepherd." But notice what he says at the end. "I have no good apart from you." The leftovers aren't good, Lord. The leftovers are actually bad. So we have a choice in our life that we're either going to make the Lord our security or other things will be our security. So let's look at verse 10. Solomon says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." Now this aspect of a strong tower, it's a fortress that is well above anything else. In this aspect of running to it and is safe, it actually, in our English translation, we miss something here. In the Hebrew, it goes back and it plays back into that word of the fortress, because safe means that you are inaccessibly high. So let me use a Jewish example here. Think back of Masada in Jewish history. It was a Herodian fortress that he built, that sat up above everything else. It was very hard to get to. And if there was ever a revolt or rebellion while he was the king of the Jews, then he would have a place that he could retreat to and would, in essence, be in an impregnable fortress. That is the imagery that is pictured here. but I want to make sure that you understand something. This does not say the Lord is a strong tower. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So think about that. Just his name means that he's inaccessibly high. Think of the character and who he really is and how much greater that makes him for security for us. He is our refuge and he is our safety. But we contrast that immediately with something that we see in verse 11. It says, "And a rich man's wealth is his strong city." And like a high wall, note the phrase here, "in his imagination." So if the Lord is not our security, if we're going to trust in some of these leftovers or wealth, guess what? It's a small city that has a wall. Yes, the wall is there for safety, but walls can be broken down without result or without much issue. But think about that last phrase here. Think about that last phrase. Like a high wall in his imagination. In other words, it's imagined safety. It's not real safety. He is trusting in something that cannot provide security, that cannot provide refuge. The only source of true security is in the Lord. Verse 12 continues. It says, "Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor." If we trust in a wall, if we trust in security that is going to be fleeting, then we're prideful, we're arrogant, and that's going to lead to a fall. The other night, I was outside around a fire pit, and my third is the explorer. That kid will just go anywhere and everywhere. We've got a tree that wasn't too far away, and he was climbing that tree, climbed that tree so many different times. And I've told him, I said, "There's a particular branch up there that's dead, son. You don't need to be standing on that branch." Well, what did he do? He went right to that branch. Why? "Well, it's not broken before. I'm fine." And you got it. As soon as he put his foot on that branch to go higher, it snapped and down he came. And he and I had that conversation of, "Son, I told you, you should have humbled yourself and listened to me, because I told you that was a dead branch." And what did he say? "But Dad, I mean, I've climbed it before and it's been fine." In other words, that arrogance and that pride was coming out. His security in that dead branch was betrayed when it broke and he fell. So we have a choice. Is our security in the Lord, or is our security in the leftovers? Look at verse 13. It says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is to his folly and to his shame." This speaks about expertise. You know, there are people that love to be experts. They love to be the ones that everyone comes to get the answers. They love to be the one that's troubleshooting, the one that's problem solving, the one that's leading and doing all of these things. But what happens in that, if you become that go-to person, then often you will make a response, "Well, I've done this before, so I'm just going to answer it this way," rather than hearing the full matter. And what happens is those accolades that you're used to, they don't come, because you find out that it's folly and it's shame. Look at verse 14. It says, "A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" These two go together. If you're used to being the person that provides all the answers, and all of a sudden you're no longer sought as the answer, your spirit will get crushed. Why? Because we need to go back up to verse 12. "Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, prideful, arrogant." But what do we need? How do we counteract that? We need humility. And that humility is that we surrender and we put our security in the Lord, not in ourselves. So you see how these are really starting to tie together. Now we're going to swing the pendulum back the other way. Look at verse 15. "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Now think about that. The contrast to this is the one that is always the expert, the one that always has the answers. But if our trust and our security is in the Lord, then we're going to be asking Him to provide us guidance. We're going to be seeking Him to give us wisdom. It goes back to that thesis that Solomon has had since the beginning of this study. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So let's go back to Solomon's father, David. In Psalm chapter 18, listen to verses 20 and 24. David writes, "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me." First of all, can you say that with an honest and open heart, that your hands are clean, that you are honest and you're innocent? I know that I can't, because I struggle every day. But notice what he says. "For I have kept," what? "The ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from God. For all of his laws were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt." Verse 24 is important. "So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands," note the concluding phrase, "in his sight." The only way that we have the security to be able to say these kinds of things is that we are following the plan and the way that God has laid out for us, rather than trying to chart our own path and do our own thing, which in turn causes significant issues for ourselves. So now, we've gone from the Lord to leftovers, back to the Lord. Let's swing one more time back to this aspect of leftovers. Look at verse 16. "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great." Verse 17, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." Now, this doesn't seem to make sense. What does this have to do with security? Well, verse 16 presents the image of bribery, that gift, that flattery, that gets the foot in the door. And if they get that foot in the door, they often will get the first word to this important and powerful leader. And when that happens, well, if I get the first word in, then they're going to listen to me and they're going to do what needs to be done. Well, a wise leader will examine not just what is said the first, but also the last, and will deliberate and then arrive at the right conclusion, which is what we see in verse 17. So the key is we should not trust in our access to those of power. We should not try to bribe our way in. Because if that's what we're trusting in, eventually we will no longer have that access. You know, you think about what happens when administrations change in our country. You know, all of these folks that were politically appointed that rode in with a specific candidate are now replaced by someone else. So where is your security? Is your security in the Lord, or is it in the leftovers that will cause you heartache in the end? So really, as we wrap this up, we have four lessons that we can learn. Number one, your source of wisdom determines your success. If you were trusting in yourself, eventually you're going to fall flat on your face. If you put your trust in the Lord, as David says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," if you follow him, you will never fail. You might not succeed the way that the world defines success, but you will achieve real success. The second thing here, your character is created by your choice of wisdom. Those that decide to pursue bribes in order to gain access or get what they want, that comes from a very specific character flaw. If instead of working hard and going doing things the right way, you're going to do things the wrong way, that's a character choice. And the reason that we make those choices is we have selected a specific worldview, a specific mindset upon which to base not only our life, but our leadership. So I've said this before, if you don't like how you're leading, then you need to check how you're living, because the two are inseparable. So number one, your source of wisdom determines your success. Number two, your character is created by your choice of wisdom. So number three, we alluded to this one early on, but putting in less than your best results in a ruined reputation. Let's say that you have a job that you don't like. So, you know what, I'm going to show the man. I'm just not going to work as hard as I should. If you do that, you will ruin your reputation. And it also reveals a character flaw, which, guess what, goes back to a source of wisdom that you have. If you're a Christian, you know very clearly what we see in the New Testament. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you do it all for the glory of God. You cannot give less than your best and say, you know what, I did that for God's glory. That means that you're trusting in something else other than the Lord. So really step back in the mirror and take a long, hard look at your life and see, am I doing the best that I can, even in areas that I struggle? Because if you're not, then that calls into question your source of wisdom. And then finally, when things go bad, do you go low or do you go high? Now, this one's going to take a little bit of explanation. There has been much made of, you know, some statements that, you know, former high office holders have made about, hey, whenever they go low, we'll kick them. You know, that's really not the right response. But stop and think about this. When things go bad, do you go low? Do you react? Kicking someone while they're down, that's reacting. Kicking someone while they strike you, that's reacting. Or do you go high? Think of what we said in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is a high fortress that's way up there. That word safe, you are inaccessibly high. If you are there, if that's where your security is, then you know what you're going to do? You're not going to react. You're going to rest. That is so counterintuitive to our modern world. But the truth is, if the Lord is your security, then you can rest. If the leftovers are your security, then you will only and always react. This phrase here, you know, when things go bad, do you go low, reacting, or do you go high, resting? It goes back to what is your source of wisdom. That source of wisdom will shape your character into a specific way, and then ultimately those things lead to an outward action. So that's the question for you today. Where is your security? Is your security in anything else other than the Lord? If it is, then that means when things go bad, you're going to react. But if your security is with the Lord, that means that when things go bad, you have the ability to rest. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.